Happy Mother's Day, delayed. I'd like to dedicate today's podcast to Black mothers, not just because I'm Black, but there is a special experience that Black moms who live in the United States of America feel. While Mother's Day is a day we all look forward to celebrating, it is also a very sad and devastating time for those Black mothers who have lost their Black and brown sons to violence in America. With young Black boys of my own, ages 4 and 10 months, I don't think a month has gone by since the birth of my first child where I haven't been frightened to death about the state of America and its war against Black and brown boys. If it's not police brutality, it's regular citizens claiming stand your ground or citizens arrest. Like, what the fudge is citizens arrest? And I guarantee you no Black person in America is willing to attempt a citizens arrest on a white person because that would be a death sentence. Although these days everything seems to end with death for Black boys and men, especially. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. We have Trayvon Martin and now Ahmaud, and it hurts because the media tries to criminalize them no matter what. He can't just be walking home from a candy store with Skittles. He had to be doing something more sinister. He can't just be curious about a home in the process of being built and go explore it. He must be a thief. And in the midst of not being able to find the right words, and it was Mother's Day, and I just kept postponing the podcast, 1 week, 2 weeks, because it just wasn't feeling like talking about this. In the process of all that, we have George Floyd. And this one, it shakes your soul, right? You should be shook after this one, after seeing the cop put his knee in George Floyd's neck and not let go until that man basically just died. They say it's not suffocation, but we all know what happened because we can see it with our very own eyes. So I really couldn't find the right words to get past Ahmaud. And when the lady in Central Park acted like a damn fool, and I want to say that's last week, and then George was murdered before our very own eyes, it was just like, what do you talk about? We fear the police so much so that we would film George's death. Beg and plea, though, but we dare not approach an officer because we know we could easily be next. As a Black woman or a man, that's what runs through your mind, right? What if I go to help him? Will they shoot me? And I don't think that should ever cross anybody's mind when dealing with the police. Like, it shouldn't be carte blanche that you can't approach them, that you can't touch them, that they are some kind of invincible presence. That should never be the case. But today, I mean, when I get stopped by the cops, and I have because I speed a lot, I probably shouldn't, but I do. And I'm deserving of that. And for the most part, they've always treated me with respect, but I've been a passenger with a Black man on the other side. And that conversation always goes a little bit differently, and I can visibly see whether it's my Black friends or a past Black boyfriend or a cousin that they get very tight, and very nervous about the interaction with a police officer. So this past Mother's Day, I watched the murder of Ahmaud. I watched as two white men seemingly fabricated a story about burglaries to justify hunting a Black man while he was jogging and minding his own business. A third man filmed rather than calling the cops to assist this young man who had just been shot. The injustice is a daily occurrence, and the only reason it's been exacerbated over the last 2 decades is because of camera phones. Because people are ready to film the outrageous atrocities, but too scared to actually interrupt the killings. We really do fear the police. Today, my son loves the police. He's 4 years old. He'll say to me, they get the bad guys. But I know to a certain extent that this is not true, and it's most certainly not true for Black boys who grow up into Black men. I can't speak for Black men and I don't pretend to know their fears. What I can say is I have two to raise and they are of the Barack type. Sure, they have a white dad, but they look like Black boys and will be subjugated to Black boy treatment and stereotypes, and it will suck for them. But that's why I have to do more. I'll need to teach them how to navigate this world as black men, something hard for a black woman and seemingly impossible for a white man, namely their father, who loves every ounce of their being. I'll need to teach my boys how to survive, and quite frankly, I don't even know how to approach the subject matter. I sometimes want to flee America to give them a fighting chance, but I don't know if there's anywhere in the world really better. Black bodies have been exploited for the longest, and no country seems to have gotten it right, not even Africa, where we are the majority. It's taken me weeks to actually gather my thoughts, and I'm still a bit of a mess because I feel I could be doing more. They tell you find the thing you're most passionate about and go for it. Is activism in my blood? Am I willing to die for a cause like so many others? Do I really want to make a change or just talk about making one? There's so many questions I need to ask myself because it's becoming clearer and clearer that I need to be making the decisions, not looking to others to make the decisions that affect my life. And that requires understanding the law, maybe even becoming a lawyer or getting into politics. I don't know what to do, but my purpose is no longer to make money for a farm, or at least that's not what will make me happy in the long run. I really need to think about the next chapter of my career, and it may be time to devote my energy and passion into the very issues that get me fired up. But instead of just being fired up, I need to organize and motivate and change. So many have tried to, but have failed. It starts with action and a voice. Many of you heard me talk about the recent acquisition of my job and how I might be out of a job soon. If and when that happens, I want to be ready with a plan. And that plan might be starting a nonprofit. During college, every internship I took was in social work because I felt I would most likely never get the opportunity to help people make a decent living. Isn't that an awful way to think? But it's true. I know I was trying to make sure I could earn enough to pay my student loans back and do better for myself. I see how that has benefited me in most ways, but now I'm at the point that I don't want to fight for a promotion or recognition. I need to start working and advocating for people who need it most. Yes, a promotion would stroke my ego, but what I do at the end of the day, the impact, is probably where I'm going to get my best work done. So I'm considering multiple options, should this integration not go in my favor. With one of the most important elections in our lifetime coming up, it's time for me to start researching how I can be part of the solution and not the problem, because nothing ever changes by waiting for someone to change it for you. Activism requires daily action and accountability. The world is crazy right now. And I'm quick to tweet and get all fired up on social media. God bless my LinkedIn because an angry black woman totally possessed it this past week and didn't care one way or another what anyone thought. In my mind, you're probably not going to hire me anyway, and that's the truth. Listen, I'm just mad as hell, like the next person, and trying to make sense of a slew of tragedies, including Corona. My life is fully stressed. If it isn't work, it's Corona, and starting a new job during the pandemic, it's crazy. I have lots going on, and there's a lot going on in the world. I'm kind of wishing I was on that Elon Musk SpaceX rocket to get the fudge out of this atmosphere. But alas, I'm still here on Earth, and I need to make it work. I'll do my part to try to make the next decade better for our children. They deserve it. Black people are beautiful, and they deserve to be treated better. I want black people to have opportunities that don't leave them dead or destitute. We have to do better. And by the way, the looters that I saw, yes, many black bodies and other bodies as well, were better than that. At the end of the day, a shoe made in India for $5 is not the greatest loss, certainly not in comparison to the many lives lost. But what is painful is knowing that many of those people don't have a role model who's a better example for them. I won't lose sleep over looting because I'm not materialistic. And I would never compare looting to, for instance, someone's death and those two things being comparable because they're absolutely not. But I hope in the weeks to come, those kids learn a lesson about life and what we're fighting for. See, stealing a $5 shoe could cost you 5 years in life. Be sure to fight fair for what you want in life. Anyhow, folks, we still don't have a vaccine, so stay safe. And if you're protesting, be safe out there. Do what's in your heart. Keep fighting the good fight, not just for George, but for all of humanity and make sure that you're on the right side of justice as you're out there. And if you see someone who looks like they've lost their way, help them out. Tell them no. Let them know the consequences that their actions might have because they might not be thinking right. I get that emotions are running high, but it's really important for us to lead by example for our brothers and sisters. And with that said, thank you for joining. This ish is for the birds.